Many blessings to you all and welcome to your journey in faith with the Reverend Dr. Amos Chewachong. Our text for reflection is Philippians 2, 19 to 30. Philippians chapter 2, verse 19 to 30. I hope in the Lord Jesus to send Timothy to you soon, that I also may be cheered when I receive news about you. I have no one else like him who will show genuine concern for your welfare, for everyone looks out for their own interests, not those of Jesus Christ. But you know that Timothy has proved himself, because as a son with his father, he has served with me in the work of the gospel. I hope, therefore, to send him as soon as I see how things go with me, and I am confident in the Lord that I myself will come soon. But I think it is necessary to send back to you Epaphroditus, my brother, co-worker and fellow soldier, who is also your messenger, whom you sent to take care of my needs. For he longs for all of you and is distressed because you heard he was ill. Indeed, he was ill and almost died. But God had mercy on him, and not on him only, but also on me, to spare me sorrow upon sorrow. Therefore, I am all the more eager to send him, so that when you see him again, you may be glad, and I may have less anxiety. So then, welcome him in the Lord with great joy, and honor people like him, because he almost died for the work of Christ. He risked his life to make up for the help you yourselves could not give me. My theme for reflection is invisible servants, visible grace. Invisible servants, visible grace. When we were children, many of us played a game called Follow the Lead. Follow the leader. The rules were straightforward enough. Watch the person in front of you and do exactly what they do. At first, it felt easy, almost automatic, but it did not take long to realize that following could be far more demanding than leading. The leader might sprint without warning, leap over obstacles, or crawl straight through the mud. And suddenly, imitation required effort, courage, and a willingness to get uncomfortable. Unexpectedly, discipleship works much the same way. We talk readily about following Christ, often as if it were a simple idea or a comforting identity. Yet, translating that commitment into daily life is far more challenging. To follow Christ means more than agreeing with his teachings or admiring his example. It means stepping into a pattern of self-giving love that asks something of us, our time, our pride, and our comfort. And just as in that childhood game, the difficulty is not in knowing what the leader is doing, but in finding the grace and resolve to follow when the path becomes demanding. In Philippians 2, 9 to 30, Paul moves from the mountaintop mystery of the Christ hymn to what looks like boring travel notices. Timothy will come later. Epaphroditus is returning now. Yet beneath these mundane arrangements lies a profound theological claim. Christ-shaped service is lived not only in grand sacrifices, but in small hidden obedience. The problem Paul quietly exposes is the universal temptation to serve ourselves under the appearance of serving God. They all seek their own interests. Verse 21. Human ambition, fear, and self-promotion are subtle forces, even in the church. Ministry becomes about visibility instead of faithfulness, applause instead of obedience. And this temptation is ancient. The prophet Jeremiah diagnosed Israel's leaders for shepherding themselves rather than God's flock. Jeremiah 23:1-4. Self-interest corrodes vocation. How does the Apostle Paul respond? Not by lecturing Philippi, but by pointing to two ordinary men whose lives reflect Jesus' self-emptying love. Timothy embodies genuine concern for the welfare of others. Epaphroditus risks his life in obscurity. Their greatness lies not in titles, but in costly availability. As Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes, the essence of discipleship is not heroism, but obedience. This obedience mirrors the cruciform pattern of Christ, who did not count equality with God a thing to be grasped, but emptied himself. Timothy and Epaphroditus show that the hymn is not abstract poetry, but vocational direction. The Old Testament deepens the picture. In Isaiah 58, God rebukes Israel for practicing external religion while pursuing selfish gain, and calls them to active embodied care for others. There, as in Philippians, true worship is revealed not through status, but service. Devotion to God is inseparable from devotion to God's people. What does this mean for us today? In a culture deeply shaped by platform, visibility, and personal advancement, even within ministry, Paul calls us back to a quieter and far more demanding way of life. Christ-like service shaped by humility. His relationship with Timothy shows us that mentorship is not about control or self-promotion, but about shared devotion, trust, and mutual strengthening. Paul invested deeply in Timothy, not to build his own legacy, but to form a faithful servant who would carry the gospel with integrity. Timothy, in turn, flourished because he remained teachable, grateful, and rooted in that relationship. Healthy ministry has always depended on this kind of mutual support. Mentors offer wisdom, patience, and steady guidance. Mentees bring energy, growth, and fresh vision. When both walk in humility, the partnership becomes powerful. But when humility is replaced by pride, something fragile breaks. In our time, some who have been nurtured and supported begin to mistake early success for self-sufficiency. They outgrow counsel, dismiss correction, and slowly lose the trust and support of those who once held their hands. What began as promise can end in isolation. Many faithful Christians today feel discouraged because their work goes unnoticed. They wonder if their quiet obedience matters. Paul's example reassures us that it does. God's kingdom does not advance mainly through celebrated figures, but through unseen servants, those who visit the sick, pray faithful prayers no one applauds, listen patiently to the lonely, and carry heavy burdens without recognition. This hidden faithfulness reflects the humility of Christ far more clearly than loud displays of importance ever could. This truth both comforts and challenges us. It comforts us by reminding us that no act of love escapes God's notice. It challenges us by asking an honest question. Do we seek approval and status more than obedience and faithfulness? True servants look like Jesus, not when they grasp for influence, but when they willingly lay aside privilege for the good of others and remain humble enough to walk alongside those who helped shape them. There are two questions for reflection. Number one, in what areas of my life am I tempted to seek my own interests rather than the interests of those of Christ and others? Number two, who has served me quietly in love and how might I honor them today? And now our practical exercise for the day. Perform one act of unseen sacrificial service today, something that benefits another but cannot be traced back to you. Let it be your silent offering to Christ. Gracious Father, you sent your Son not to be served but to serve, and in him you have shown us the path of true greatness. Form in us the mind of Christ. Deliver us from self-seeking and free us for joyful obedience. Make us faithful in the ordinary tasks of love, that in our hidden service your glory may be revealed. Strengthen all who labor quietly for the gospel across the world, and bind your church together in humble unity. Through Jesus, our servant King, we pray. Amen. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be and abide with us all, now and forevermore. Amen.